All right, so moving into that all-important third hour. Hi, I'm Jim Rome. What's going on? Nice to have you here. All right, in this third hour, we've got a conversation with Bengals offensive lineman Cordell Volson. I have Alvin's Ionic week that was. I have the nearly as Ionic ATP. And I have open phone lines. 1-800-636-8686. We have championship weekend. Notice I'm not giving you my picks. I've made my picks. They're on our betting podcast, Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. If you want to know my picks and his picks, go find that after the program. In the meantime, I want to keep moving. I want to talk for a minute about the Panthers because they finally got around to announcing their new head coach. And the guy who ends up with the gig is Frank Reich. My reaction to that is it is a perfectly reasonable, sensible, solid hire. Remember, before everything fell apart in Indy, and Jim Irsay dumped the dude for a flapjack flipping, high school coaching, hot take having, morning show dude who fell on his face, the Frank Reich Colts were actually a pretty solid football team. Coming into this season, Reich was 37-28. He had a couple of playoff trips in four seasons. He managed to do all of that with a different primary quarterback in every one of those seasons. So you can't say the guy's a bad head coach. He's actually a really solid head coach. And now that he's escaped Jim Irsay's funhouse, love to see it. Love to see it.
Love to see.
Maybe he'll be a better coach. And of course, he has roots and history in Carolina. In fact, he threw the first pass in Panthers franchise history. He was their expansion debut starter. So there's a track record and familiarity. He's had coaching success there. And there is familiarity with the franchise. So in theory, it's the right kind of coach to help a franchise figure out how to get more out of the quarterback position, right? They've got quarterback issues. Why not hire a guy who played the position and who knows the position? So from that standpoint, it's a pretty justifiable hire. However, I want to say this. Although there's a lot to like about Frank Reich, he better be better than Steve Wilks. He better do a better job than Steve Wilks because the Panthers already had a solid head coach in that house. A guy that the players liked. A guy that the players wanted. And they passed on that dude to hire a coach who was so much worse this season. I mean, honestly, Steve Wilks deserves some bleeping credit. How long are you going to hold that one season he had at Arizona against him? I mean, seriously. Hard enough to go 6-6 over any 12-game stretch in the NFL, but let alone as an interim. Let alone when you really don't have a quarterback. Let alone when they trade away your best player 10 days after you get that gig. This is what you call the proverbial uphill battle or up mountain battle. It's like up the steepest possible cliff battle. And yet this dude still won as many games as he lost. He still went 6-6. He still had the Panthers competing hard every single game. He still had them in contention for the division all the way into Week 17. Even if that division was the hideous dumpster fire that it was. But over the course of all of that, he was able to win that locker room over. Those dudes love them some Steve Wilks. It's not me saying it. It's them saying it. Don't take it from me. Take it from the guys that are in that locker room who played for that guy. Take it from Derek Brown. Derek Brown had this to say about Wilks earlier in the month.
If you ask any man in this locker room, we want Steve Wilks to be our next head coach. And, you know, that's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, I mean, that's not up to us. But, I mean, we're going to campaign for it as much as we can and play hard this weekend and see if we can get it there. For us to be able to have Coach Wilks again next year and finally have some stability around here, I mean, that's what it's all about.
I mean, I don't know that you could be any more enthusiastic or emphatic about a guy. He said no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Ask anybody in this locker room. We want Steve Wilks. And he does make some pretty legitimate points. Wilks was no 1-7 pancake flipper in the interim stint. This was an audition that he actually nailed. Maybe even a little too well. If you want a small hint as to why this guy got passed over, maybe check out this post-game quote. I'm not saying this is exclusively why he got passed over, but I'd be hard-pressed for you to convince me that it's got nothing to do with it. This is what he had to say after Carolina's Week 14 win in Seattle. A win in Seattle, which was pretty awesome as a win, by the way, but this is what he said after a win on the road.
And with everything that, you know, we've gone through, they've gone through with the different, you know, coaching changes, you know, getting rid of players, or the organization trying to tank it, you know, all those different things. And to see how those guys respond and came out and played today, it is pretty thrilling and emotional, yes.
Yeah, pretty clear why his guys love him. Because he's real. Because he's honest. You got to love that energy. And you have to love the head coach going with a T-blast.
Trying to tank it.
Not only did he say the word tank out loud.
Trying to tank it.
He said it at a podium into a hot mic. He flat out accused his own organization of tanking.
Trying to tank it.
Which is incredible. It just might not be the best way to ingratiate yourself and ultimately land the full-time gig. But he's not that guy. He's not going to be a guy who tells you what you want to hear just to get that gig. He's the guy that tells you the way it actually is. And he said it. Credit to all these guys for finding a way to get through it, especially when their own organization is trying to tank it.
Trying to tank it.
I mean, if you want to land that full-time gig, and not an easy gig to get, especially when they're trading away your best player 10 days after you arrive. But I would imagine the owner probably did not appreciate the interim head coach saying they're trying to tank it.
Organization trying to tank it.
But he's not wrong. Look, David Tepper was always going to try and make a splashy hire. Promoting the interim head coach probably was not splashy enough for this guy. But he might have been the most qualified guy for that gig. He's already in that locker room. They already respect him. They already love him. And they play hard for him. And he wins. And he wins. But apparently not enough splash. So Frank Reich might be splashy enough. Maybe. I'm not saying that's not a rational hire. But he's got something to prove now. And he better prove that he's better than Steve Wilks. You got to prove that, Frank. You better be better than a 500 coach in Carolina. And I don't want to hear about a quarterback situation either. I don't want to hear about what they don't have at quarterback. Wilks was out there winning with P.J. Walker and Sam freaking Darnold. So, I'm not trying to hedge here. I don't have a huge issue with that hire. But, Frank, you better win. You better win, and you better not be any worse than Steve Wilks. In the meantime, everybody else better give Wilks some bleeping credit because he earned it. He absolutely earned it. I can even argue that he earned that job. But give this guy credit for real.
For real.
6-6, and they traded his best player right after he got there, and the organization was actively trying to tank it.
Organization trying to tank it.
That probably did not help him get the job, but he was being real. He's trying to give his guys credit. Like, they don't want us to win, but my guys aren't having it. They're trying to win. Hey, Carolina fan, where do you come out on that? You like that hire? Steve Wilks handled that with class, as you might imagine, but you know he's not happy, and I wouldn't be either. If I were him and I went 6-6, I would not be happy. I mean, hell, you got that pancake flipper who went 1-7 beating his chest, saying, I'm the guy, I'm the guy. Give me the job. I'm most deserving. He went 1-7 at Bill Diemer. Cindy, quote, I wanted to hear where Rex was going. Jim, quote, you do not, you do not, you do not.
No, you do not.
You do not.
You do not.
You do not, Cindy. You do not. You do not.
No, no, you do not.
Cindy, you do not.
You do not. You do not. You do not bring him in. No, no, you do not. You do not.
Brian CNSP, quote,
you do not bring him in.
I don't know, Jim. I think that call by Rex was one of his best.
You do not bring him in. No.
I can say it was a crowning achievement.
You do not.
Crown her ass.
No. No, you do not. You do not. You do not.
Wells in the 360. Rex is back.
You do not.
All is right in the world again.
Hey,
Wells, all will not be right in the world until you stop hitting me up on the daily.
No, you do not.
Look at everybody who has Rex's back.
You do not.
A who's who of people who make it worse.
No, you do
not. Wells.
You do not.
Oh, what do you know? There's Geoff.
You do not bring
him in. He's back. Rex. Rex. Rex.
You do not. You do not. You do not bring him in.
Abigail was in.
You do not.
Here's Abigail's tweet. Cindy. Cindy. Cindy.
More lady clones.
You do not. You do not. You do not bring him in. No. No, you do not. You do not. You do not.
Paulie in Indy writes, Jim.
No.
Wilkes is such a straight shooter. He tells his lady that her pants do make her ass look big.
You do not bring him in.
I don't know that he does that.
Organization trying to tank it.
You do not.
But he did say that. And if you want that job, you probably don't want to say that. But again, he's not going to not be real. He's not going to not be true to himself.
For real.
And is he saying anything that we didn't already know? They got rid of Christian McCaffrey right when he got the gig. Parody Larry. Doing anything and everything he can to get on the air. He's been waiting on hold not all week, but essentially all year. Actually. And now he's taken to Twitter to try to get my attention. As if seeing his name on my call sheet isn't enough. Larry, I see you. Larry, I know you're there. Larry, I think that you think that I don't know, and that's why I'm not going to you. I'm not going to you, Larry. Because your parodies are not funny, nor are they cool, nor are they creative. No offense. I know you're there, Larry. Larry's like, I mean, Jim must not know. He must not know I've been on hold for a month. Oh, I know, Larry. Yet, he's still trying. At the parody, Larry. Dear XR4TI, Jim is the idol maker. And it finally happened for me. Please get Rome to take my call today to find out why. Oh, you have a backstory. I see what you did there, Lawrence. You're trying to kind of suck up to me like something good happened to you because of me, and therefore I would want to take your phone call. Wow, tempting, Lawrence. Ah, what the hell? Let's go to Larry. Psych. 1-800-636-8686. Check this dude out. Jim is the idol maker, and it finally happened for me. Please get Rome to take my call today and find out why. All right, Larry. It's Friday. It's Friday. I'll bite. Let's go to parody, Larry. Larry, what's up? Just kidding, Larry.
Psych.
All right, that's not cool. That's not cool. That's like Larry's hitchhiking, and I'm in the car, and I slow down, and he runs up to the car, and then I smash the gas pedal. That's not cool. All right, Larry, you and I have history. You've been on hold for a month. Something good happened to you. I probably deserve credit. What the hell? I'll probably regret it. Let's do it. We go to the phones. Parody Larry, what's up? Just kidding.
Psych.
Maybe still, Larry. Maybe before the end of the program. But I've got Cordell Volson coming up next. 1-800-636-8686. Stucknut writes, since you got baby Jessica to trend nationwide, do we get a personal appearance smack segment? Somehow, what he says is true. Baby Jessica is trending nationwide, but it's not because of us, nut. So the answer is no. You don't get that segment. She's not trending because of us. All right, when we come back, Cordell Volson will be my guest. Bengals offensive lineman. And the offensive line obviously is a big question mark before this game. That's next. Alvy's Week That Was is coming up. The ATP is coming up. And Larry, I'm thinking about it. If I can get you in today, Larry, I will. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Moving right through hour number three. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I'm in Southern California. It is championship weekend. Could not be any better. Love both matchups, especially in the AFC. As promised, we are joined right now by a rookie offensive lineman for the Bengals. He was the 136th overall pick in 2022 out of North Dakota State. He was a four-time FCS champion with the Bison. He started all 16 games that he played this season. Cordell Volson is my guest. Cordell, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Dude, it's so good to have you on. Really appreciate you, especially right before the game. Hey, listen, I understand that you've got a lot of work ahead of you, but first, congrats on an outstanding rookie season. And even though you've got bigger goals in front of you, I want to ask, if I told you a year ago, as you were getting ready for the NFL draft, that in 52 weeks, you would be the starting offensive lineman for a team that was going to play to advance to the Super Bowl, what would you have said?
You know, I probably would have told you that you were crazy. You know, it's been a blessing to be here and be a part of such a great team and organization, and you know, to have an opportunity to play for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You know, so really looking forward to this Sunday, and you know, just to continue to put our best foot forward.
Man, it's such an amazing opportunity. I get that. Let me ask you, I know you're looking ahead and not back, but there was so much made of the fact that the offensive line was so depleted going into last weekend's game against Buffalo, and then you guys were absolutely lights out. I mean, not just in protecting Joe Burrow, but in establishing the run as well. How were you able to have that kind of game, be that effective, down that many starters, and what was your mindset going into that game?
Yeah, you know, everyone has put in the work all year, and you know, we were confident going in with the group of guys that we had, and just came down to execution, and the coaches did a great job of putting us into situations to be successful, and you know, we just went out and executed the game plan and played really fast, and you know, trusted each other to do what we were supposed to do.
So you mentioned the coaches. Of the four remaining head coaches, Cordell, I would say the football public probably knows the least about Zach Taylor, even though you're all a game away from returning to the Super Bowl. What is Zach like, and what's been your biggest takeaway from your first season of playing for him?
Zach has been great. He's really cool, calm, and collected. You know, he's awesome to play for. Just someone that you know, you want to go to battle with. You know, does a great job of putting us into great situations, and really fortunate to have him as my head coach.
Cordell Volson is joining us once again. Listen, I'm running out of superlatives and ways to describe your QB1 Joe Burrow other than to say that this dude is just cool as bleep. I mean, in every sense of the word, how would you describe him yourself and how special he is as a QB1?
Yeah, he is, you know, he's just an elite competitor, a great dude, and what's so special about him is that he's just himself. You know, he doesn't put on a show or anything. That's just truly how he is, and just a great leader, and you know, one of the best in the game, and really fortunate to be able to protect for him every single Sunday.
So you were not a part of that Bengals team that won the AFC title game last year at Arrowhead, but you were on the field last month for the win over the Chiefs in Week 13. So what stands out to you about that KC defense led by Chris Jones and his 15.5 sacks?
Yeah, they're really good. You know, up front, they're really good between Frank Clark and Chris Jones, two really good players. You know, they do a lot for their team, and it's going to be a battle and it's going to be a challenge, but you know, we're excited for it and we're ready for it. And you know, it's you know, what we were expecting, you know, leading up to this point is to, you know, our season come down to this game.
You know, you look at it, and as I mentioned, you're a rookie and you've got guys that are falling down all around you to injury. Normally the rookie is given a little more leeway and some time to kind of mature, develop, and figure out how things are going. Did you feel like with the injuries that you had to step up even more quickly, and are guys actually kind of leaning on you?
You know, I think that might have some impact. But you know, at the end of the day, it's just, you know, falls back on your rules and your principles and your technique and you know, being out there all year and you know, kind of understanding how Ted Karras, our center, you know, goes through his progressions, goes through his calls and to be able to relay those to the guy next to me. You know, I think they have relied on me for that. And you know, it's just been great because guys have put in so much work every single week and to be on the same page to go and execute, it's been a great, you know, last few weeks, just building as a person, as a player, you know, and just coming out as a leader a little bit as well.
Cordell Volson joining us. I'm glad you mentioned Ted. I was going to ask you about him. It had to have been so cool, but what was it like for you and Ted to chop it up with the Cincinnati fans after the game last week when you returned? What was that scene like when you guys dropped off the game ball at the local tavern as part of that new tradition that Zach Taylor started?
Yeah, it was really neat. You know, it was really cool. We went in there and the whole place was going crazy, hootay chants, and it just shows the support the city of Cincinnati has for us. And you know, we're really thankful and for the football team that we're, you know, so it was really cool and a really neat experience, that's for sure.
Cordell, it seems to me when you look at your journey, it's absolutely amazing. You're from Balfour, North Dakota. You played your college ball, as I mentioned, at North Dakota State, which has been an FCS powerhouse for years. But when I talk about journey and story, that town that you grew up in, how big is it actually?
Yeah, so you can see right behind me here, we have a map of Balfour. That's where I originally am from, and then Fargo, and then Cincinnati, if you can see those.
Yeah,
Balfour, as you can see, there's not much to it. I think the last census, there was like 27 people. You know, so it's really, really small town, and you know, that's – really thankful to have come from an area like that where you know, you have a blue collar upbringing and you know, just a great community of support and you know, just to be close with so many people.
My guy, you just said you come from a town of 27 people. That's half an NFL roster. The town that you grew up in, that's absolutely astonishing. And you're in the NFL, you're playing huge, you're in big games. What were you thinking about growing up in a town like that? Obviously, small town, everybody knows everybody. Did you have NFL dreams? From the great answer there, I'm just not hearing it, unfortunately. That is incredible. Thanks, Alvy. Cordell, I'm going to try one more time. We lost you momentarily. You still there? Can you hear me? We may try and fix that. That's obviously a Zoom call, so generally that works out pretty well. I want to see if I can finish that thing up the right way. Cordell Volson, my guest, on the line before the big AFC Championship showdown. I'll see if we can finish that. He comes from a town, Balfour, North Dakota, that had 27 people. I'm not sure I've ever heard of anything like that. All right, so gearing up, in the event that we lost him, I definitely want to thank him for coming on before the big game. The offensive line is a major question mark and a big part of that game, and we're trying to reset that for you. In the meantime, next segment, I do have Alvin's week that was. Jared in Michigan's weighing in. Hey, King of Smack, do not take Parody Larry's call. I would rather listen to That's What's In on a loop for 2 hours, then listen to any trash material That's Raggedy Larry has scripted. War Steve Wilkes getting another NFL head coaching job.
That's what's in.
Jared in Michigan. All right. So, Chalk, what do you think? Are we going to lose this connection? I think we are, unfortunately. Anyway, my thanks to Cordell Volson. Yeah, such a good dude, such a good player, and making time for us on Friday before the AFC Championship game. My guy, sorry that I didn't get to finish what I started, but thank you very much for coming on. My thanks to Cordell for that. When we return, one last segment. Do I take Larry's call or not? Am I actually the idol maker? Should I give in to this guy? Should I find out what good thing happened to him? I'll think about that during the break. Alvin's Week the West is coming up. Do not go anywhere. Let's take a short time out. Again, my thanks to Cordell Volson. I wish I could have finished what I started. Calling all small business owners who paid employee wages during COVID. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes and are eligible to receive a refund of up to $26,000 per employee. To schedule your free ERC consultation, call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000 or go to OmegaTaxCredits.com. Here is your... I'm telling you, I love Bengal fan. I love how hyped Bengal fan is. I love that Bengal fan is getting up in here and letting us know how awesome it is to be a Bengal fan. Like any Bengal reference they hear on this show, they love. I love this. Ian in the Natty writes, Jim, even though it was short, great interview with Cordell. The dude has been a lifesaver for the offensive line. The kid is tough as nails and stepped in on day one. Ian in the Natty. War Cordell and the Bengals O-line stepping up once again. He nailed it. That's exactly what that guy's done. Yes, he went to an FCS power. He grew up in a town of 27 people. He's a rookie who had to step in and lead from the front. He's had an amazing year. He's played great ball, and the moment's not been too big for him. And I so appreciate him coming on the day before the weekend of the game. I love this for Cincinnati fans. I'm not saying that I'm pulling for the Bengals to win. I'm saying I'm loving this for you. You so deserve it. Cincinnati so deserves this. And they're an awesome team. Everything about them is awesome. Love them. I love everything about it. My man Cordell is going to have to play big, though. He's going to have to. Adam Schefter tweets, Bengals ruled out offensive lineman Jonah Williams and Alex Kappa for Saturday's game. Not surprising, but now it's real. So Cordell is going to have to play big. He knows, and he has. He's played awesome. They had an amazing week against Buffalo, both in pass protection and in running the football. Can they do it again? Dr. David Chow had the Pro Football Doc had some really interesting thoughts on that matchup and why this week is actually different than last week, and that because they were dominant last week does not mean they'll be dominant this week. If you want that information, go to Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. Also, the ATP. Romy, when you're unwinding on a Friday night in your backyard, staring at that idle bocce ball court, do you have a go-to beer while you're sipping that 42? Brian, in Erie. All right, first things first. This Friday night, I am supposed to be on the road immediately to go to the desert because Rogan Loam and University High School have a tournament. So there will be no backyard sipping of the 42. Generally, though, do I have a go-to beer? You want to know what my routine is now? It used to always be very regimented, and I usually did not deviate. One Heineken, and then I would sip the 42. I've kind of eliminated the Heineken. I've gone right to the 42. I don't want the calories. So on occasion, I'm not saying I'll never have a beer, but that used to be my go-to. And then I kind of messed around with Mick Ultra. Same reason, calories. I don't want the calories. But that would have been my go-to. If I have a go-to, it's a Heine. One. Tom in Tinton Falls. Romy, I've been listening to the show since 1997, but I've never heard the story about how the clones became known as the clones. I know why, but is there a story behind it? Who glossed it and when? #ATP. Honestly, Tom, like impossible questions to answer. I have no idea. I have no idea who once said they're clones. Now, I'll tell you one guy who used to go with it a lot out of hate and jealousy and resentment, the butter knife. The plastic knife would be like, They all sound like him. They all regurgitate what he says. They're clones. You know, he was here to hate. And I understood that, man. It's when you're the young guy on the way up, everybody loves you until you blow right by all of them and then they hate you. Which is why whenever it came over the table, it was the best day ever for everybody who worked on that station because I'd blown by all of them. So I don't know if the butter knife gets credit for it. I know that he very derisively used to use that phrase. But the reason the clones are the clones is when I came up, my style was very distinctive and very different, and people would mimic me. And I don't mean, you know, other haters and people talking bleep about me. I mean, the callers loved it because they had never heard anything like it, so they would sound like me. They were the clones. But no, I don't know who coined it, and I don't know when it happened. Hi, Jim. If Dodger Jano actually did win the lottery, would you actually stop working? Bellaby in Calgary. In a second. No, Bill, I would still work. Chalk's not buying it. I would still work. Maybe I wouldn't do 5 podcasts and the show. Would I dial it back slightly? Maybe, but maybe not. You know, I know that whenever somebody says it's not about the money, it's about one thing, the money. But the things that I'm thinking about, the things that are driving me, the things that I'm obsessed with right now are not money driven. If I execute those things that I am currently obsessed with, the money will follow. I'm not chasing money. I'm chasing self-actualization. And I can't do that without doing the work. So honestly, it sounds cheesy, Bella, but no, I would not stop working. Because I'm not in it just for the money. I want more money. We all want more money, but inherently money is not my God. That's not what I'm chasing. I'm chasing self-actualization. I'm chasing being the best version of me. I know that sounds very corny, but that's it. I mean, that really is it. Yes, I would keep working if Dr. Jana won the lotto. Now, if she won the lotto, that'd be pretty cool. But I would still come to work. Mr. Rome, does anybody ever approach you at the Uni High games to ask to take a picture with you or for your autograph? Respectfully, Edward Marino from Redondo Beach. No? Yeah, a picture once in a while. But not really. Not really. It's you know why? Because nobody's impressed. I'm one of them. I'm like another baseball dad. I'm another Irvine resident. I'm another guy in the stands screaming, scrumptious! No, they're not impressed. The picture I took, I posted it, from the alumni game was Rick Burleson spoke to the team, former MLB great, spoke to the team before the game. The Rooster! So I was like, Rick. So I took a picture with him. We posted that. No. Because nobody around here is impressed, and why would they be? So no, Edward, that is not an issue. And Machmoda, Rome, spoiler alert, you are the idol maker. Parody Larry has parlayed his jungle, quote, fame, into a sando at Ike's. Stale-ass white bread, piled high with bologna, slathered with doo-doo-doo-doo. Wow, Mach, that's almost as bad as one of his parodies. Javi, can you pick me up? Do we have time? Please do. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. How was your weekend? How y'all living? I already know the answer to that. Some of you are living quite well, and some of you are not having a good day. I know this. Oh, looky here. Not the triumphant return of the ATP. Where do I even start? How about right under center? Because nothing says America's team more than watching the alleged franchise QB on a $160 million contract get outplayed by Mr. Irrelevant.
We're sick.
Jack, the turnover factory, returned in this game and brought the Cowboys down with it.
It's all factories.
It's all turnover factories.
Elliott is going to snap the ball.
You know something's game. Funny? When you've seen it 150 times and it still makes you laugh out loud. Zeke hikes it. Boom! Zeke gets sent through the turf. The grounds crew is still picking up pieces of that guy from the field. Darius Butler.
Man, it was horrible. Good snap, but then he just got destroyed. I hope that's not the last time we see Zeke in a Cowboys uniform.
I want to get on this whole Dak Prescott thing. He's failing as a leader for that team. I mean, somebody's got to call him out.
I know you're not saying that I'm the one making excuses for Dak. Did you hear the show open? Dak, the turnover factory.
Some factories.
No, turnover.
Not enough bum fights in front of the restaurant, business, or park that your children are playing in. Do you miss the feeling of dirty needles stuck to your shoe? Do you feel like you're not paying enough taxes? San Francisco is your answer.
Credit to the Bengals. I feel for you, Mafia. Totally outclassed.
Long-suffering Buffalo fan.
Totally outplayed. Totally outcoached. Totally humiliated.
Who they think going to beat them Bengals?
Gio Capatia.
I don't root for any team. Like, I don't care if the Eagles win or the Eagles lose. I root for the content.
Team content is my favorite team.
Team content and also team my picks against the spread.
Jake in Vegas. Good to have you, Jake. How are you?
This is Jason from Vegas. Jason.
Oh, Jason. My bad, dude. This is probably the worst rule on the program. We go back to Vegas. Jake in Vegas.
How you doing, Papa? How you doing? Much respect for you. All too. I got to say is about how about some call girls?
Oh, man. Rack him. People are seriously saying that it was somehow a clone version of DeMar and not actually DeMar. Was his mother a clone? The little brother clone.
I can assure all the clones this is not a fake DeMar Hamlin. He was actually there.
I mean, I believe you. However, that right there was not Dave in Orchard Park. That was the fake Dave in Orchard Park. Just like it was the fake DeMar. Rome, wake up. What happens if clone Jim comes to confront real Jim in the studio? Alvin, take him out. I am the real Jim. No, I am the real Jim Rome. Chris Finch.
And I always bet on myself. I never chased money. I always chased opportunity. Figured money would come if you were good enough at what you did.
Jim, if I knew what I was going to do.
Because that didn't sound contrived. Because that didn't sound scripted.
Right, I've already
because that didn't sound manufactured.
You're more than welcome to come along and see what we do.
Hey, Robert, I'm really sorry that I can't join you backstage. But the Blue Jays do have a very important midseason doubleheader. I mean, Dave Steeb has been dealing. What if Kelly Gruber gets a hold of one? Jeff Gordon?
Hey, Jim, always a pleasure to talk to you. Get out there to the Coliseum. Come check us out, man. That's a pretty wild show out there, seeing them bump and bang. So hope you get a chance to come out and check us out.
No doubt. I'll go to the Coliseum and send the Jim Rome clone to Glendale. Steven Stamkos.
I think hockey is just one of those sports where, you know, loyalty is a big thing. You know, Tampa trusted me and taking me first overall. I've seen some of the dark days, and that's what kind of motivates you to see the glory days.
Those glory hole days.
Hello, hello, hello.
A lot of shots.
Is there any butterscotch syrup out there? Can I get another serving? Is it not an all-you-can-eat pancake brekkie? Can I get a side of bacon? Packers wide receiver Romeo Doubs joining us. Do you have any feel for what he's going to do? Any sense of what he might do?
I have no idea, man. If he decides to come back, that's great. And even if he chooses not to, it's his life. I wouldn't be mad at either decision.
Dickie, what's your beef?
I got a beef, and it's probably not going to sit well with a lot of people, but go to hell, rare steak guy. Your XR4 Ti idiot that you got going there. Can't answer the phone. And then, old radio button pushing guy, Alvin DeLoro.
I got a beef about a beef about a beef. We got a guy calling in with the name Dickie.
The car show in Newport Beach on Saturdays would make this look like a Chevy. How big of a would you have to be to say that to somebody?
My balls and my nutsack were exploding.
Frowning. I like that album. Like that. A remix.
Never feel like an underdog.
Slider.
Look through that helmet, and those eyes are scared.
Whoa! Original bug-eyed kook.
A gadget player or whatever.
Go G. Brother.
Rake Jones.
They're pigeons. They're not eagles anymore.
That's how y'all getting down in Philly? Y'all still after a win?
The calculus for the Lakers. At Chuck
E. Cheese. What doesn't smack six beers in?
I didn't say now. Later.
Lou Anarumo.
Hey, Taco.
Good night now!
Alvin, still smooth as can be. What a great segment. Nice job, Alvin DeLoro, the king of the week that was. Huge call today brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They are close. They are convenient. They are known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you know you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. My thanks to Mike Sando, senior NFL writer for The Athletic. Cordell Volson, Yo, big dude, you're a stud. Appreciate you, Cordell, very much. I'm sorry that we couldn't finish the interview, but thanks for making time for us. Good luck this weekend. Cannot wait to see both those games. I love both those matchups. If you want my pick, go to Jim Rome's Big Head Bets. Not only do I give you my picks, the Big Head James Kelly gives you his picks, and this time, a lot of people are saying that was the best pod of the season. It's because James Kelly, I think, came with a bunch of prop bets. Lots of different options. The Pro Football Doc is there, too. In addition to that, brand new episode of The Reinvention Project with Jim Rome. The first episode of 2023. Look for it. Have a great weekend. We're out.